I have been blessed
by being here. I have been convicted by being here, but I'm glad to be here tonight. We've heard about the solid rock. We've heard about the solid foundation, Jesus Christ. God is God and truth is truth. And the only variable is me. Whether or not I will accept it, whether or not I will accept the truth, whether or not I will accept the salvation plan that God has set in place, it's up to me. God is God and truth is truth. It's up to me. It's up to you. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 5. Brother Paul already introduced the subject, assurance of salvation. Are you sure of your salvation tonight? God is God and truth is truth, but are you sure of your salvation tonight? God has done his part. I might take a different direction than what you would have, I don't know. But our text is 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. I want to read those verses. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Are you assured of your salvation? Do you have life assurance tonight? Can you testify to the goodness of God, to the greatness of God, to the grace of God tonight? I believe I'm preaching tonight to people who know the gospel message, people who have heard, some longer than others, but I believe I'm preaching to people who know the plan of salvation. Do you believe tonight that you can have peace with God? Do you believe tonight that you can have peace knowing you are a child of God? Is it possible to know that you're a child, that I am a child of God? Can I even know that? Or is the man who is confident of his salvation merely boasting? Can I know that I'm saved? Is it possible to know? I want to remind you tonight that every one of us were born with a sin nature. Every one of us. Romans tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I want to tell you tonight that God's grace exceeds your sin. Now, he won't force you to follow him. He won't force you to do what's right. But I want to tell you tonight that God's grace exceeds your sin. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, Scripture tells us. You can have confidence in that tonight, brothers and sisters. God's grace exceeds your sin. The man who's been converted is serving a different master. I want to remind you tonight that all unrighteousness is sin. And I want to remind you of the verse in Habakkuk that says, God is of purer eyes than to behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. You were born with a sin nature. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, hath quickened us together in Christ. You're saved by grace through faith. Is it possible to know that you're saved? Friends, tonight I want to remind you, preaching to people who have been taught, I want to remind you tonight that Jesus Christ was delivered for your offenses and raised again for your justification. Therefore, we can have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have peace tonight? Do you have peace in your heart knowing that you're a child of God? Where do you stand before God tonight? Peace. I want to remind you also tonight that peace follows surrender. Peace comes first. Surrender comes first and then peace. I'm sorry. Surrender and then peace. You have peace in your heart. I hope you do. But I also want to remind you that if you haven't surrendered your heart to the Lordship of Jesus Christ tonight, then today is the day of salvation. Tonight is the night of salvation. Make the choice to follow Him. If you haven't surrendered, do that. And then you can have peace. You can have peace. You have peace in your heart? Not necessarily the absence of struggle. We're always going to have issues, always going to have things that we're working through and dealing with. But you can have peace in your heart, I believe, despite those things. You can have peace in your heart despite the struggles of the world around us. Despite the struggles of everyday life, you can have peace in your heart. And I believe that you can have peace in your heart tonight knowing that you're a child of God. I want you to listen to Jesus' invitation in Matthew chapter 11. He said this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Do you have rest in your soul tonight? Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Psalm says, "Be still and know that I am God." How's your heart tonight? Do you have peace in your heart? I'm not talking about peace that comes from being all set financially or knowing the pantry is full. Not that kind of peace. I'm talking about peace that comes from dying to the flesh. Peace that comes from surrendering your heart to God. Do you have it tonight? Peace that comes from being pure before God. And in that purity, you rejoice before God. And you say, "I have peace. Thank you, Lord." Peace that says with assurance, "I am but a stranger here, and heaven is my home. I'm headed that direction, and I know it." Do you have that peace? This is a little out of ordinary, but I want you to stand with me and sing a verse of "Saved by the Blood." "Saved by the blood of the crucified one, ransomed from sin and a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Saved. I am saved by the blood of the crucified one." Thank you. You may be seated. Are you saved tonight? Are you saved by the blood? And do you have confidence in your heart that you are saved and that you're pure before God? Or is there something there? Is the Son of God living in your heart, and are you assured of it? I want to look at the book of 1 John, go through it quickly, and look at some things there in the verses that lead up to our text. First John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship. Now you remember, what does our text say? It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Do you have fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ? Answer that in your own heart. Verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 9, very familiar verse, but such a beautiful and precious verse. Do you believe this verse tonight? This is what it says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe that tonight? I believe that tonight. Here is the promise from God. He says, if you confess, he'll forgive you. Take hold of that promise. Chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So check out your life. Are you keeping his commandments? You know better than anybody else. Are you keeping his commandments? If you're not keeping his commandments, then I trust you don't have peace in your heart. You ought not. Are you keeping his commandments? Verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. How's your love for your fellow man? How's your love for your brother? How's your love for your brother in the church, your sister in the church? How is it? Well, here's the test. If you love your brother, you abide in the light. If you don't love him, you're in darkness. Verse 15, love not the world. More familiar verses. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you don't have assurance of salvation tonight, is it because you love the world? You answer that question in your own heart. Is that the reason? It might be. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. Chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Are you a son of God? Do you know that you're a son of God tonight? And do we understand what a privilege that is? What a blessing that is to be a son of God? A joint heir with Christ? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. How's your heart? Verse 16. You know what John 3:16 says? Look at what 1 John 3:16 says. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Are you doing it? Are you serving your brother? Chapter 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Our old bishop said one time, don't just believe it because somebody said it. Check it out. Try the spirits. Are you following the right spirit? Verses 7 and 8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. How's your love? Do you have the works of God in your heart? Do you have the fruits of the Spirit in your heart? Chapter 5, verse 2. I missed one, and I want to catch this one. Chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Do you have fear in your heart tonight? Fear has torment. Or are you confident in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Or is there fear there? Chapter 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. How's your obedience? I'll read our text verses again. Verses 12 and 13. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Look at your life. Are the fruits there or aren't they? And if they're not, why aren't they? And if they are, then rejoice. You've surrendered your heart to God. You've surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. And the fruits are there. You look back and you see the fruits are there. Yeah, I know we fail sometimes. But if the fruits are there, you've surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ. You're open before him. Then rejoice. Verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. You have the Son. You have the Son in your heart tonight. Do you know that you've been forgiven? Do you have the confidence in your own heart that you've been forgiven? Do you have the assurance tonight that you are a child of God? Do you know where you're headed? If Jesus were to return tonight, do you know where you're headed? Do you have the confidence that you know where you're headed? To know something is to have no doubt. When you know something, there's no room for doubt. You know where you're going? You know Jesus Christ is in your heart? Brothers and sisters, we call it a personal relationship with Jesus Christ because ultimately it's up to you, and it's up to you, and it's up to me. I have to make the decision in my own heart. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I can know that I've been forgiven. The only way for your relationship to work with God is if you're honest with yourself before God and you open yourself up to him. And when he convicts you, you repent. That's the only way a personal relationship works with Jesus Christ. It's up to you. You have assurance in your heart that you are a child of God tonight. I trust that you do. Brother Paul referred to the young people. And I think probably he's right that young people probably struggle more with that. And God bless you, young people. Now I know I sound like an old person. God bless you, young people, for being here, for having a desire to know, to hear the word preached, spend time with other godly youth. God bless you all. It blesses my heart to see your desire to follow God. Maybe you struggle with something like this. I hope not. But maybe you struggle with an assurance of salvation. Is it possible to know? I believe it is. You know, those of us who are older have just had more years to work through some of that. And if you struggle with that tonight, my heart goes out to you. And I want to encourage you to keep on. Is it important to know whether or not I am saved? Is it important to know? Is it necessary that I know where I stand before God? You know what the answer to that question is? The answer is yes, I must know. Because if I'm not living right, if I'm not on the path to glory, I need to change it. I have to know. Brothers and sisters, and I, you have to answer the question in your own heart. And if the answer is no, I am not right with God, no, I do not have assurance of salvation because there's sin in my heart, then make it right. Repent. And if your answer is, well, I don't know, I'm not sure, then let's get it figured out. Because you need to know where you're headed. Do you have assurance in your heart that you are a child of God? I want to give three answers to that question. Number one, first answer might be yes. Yes, I am a child of God. I know where I'm headed. I know my sins have been forgiven. I'm on my way to glory. Praise God. I trust most of us are in that camp. Number two, the second answer to that question, do you have assurance in your heart that you are a child of God? The second answer might be this one. No, I am not a child of God. I've never surrendered my heart to God. I know he's not living in me. No, I am not a child of God. Or it might be, no, I know I'm not a child of God because I know there's sin there that needs to be taken care of. I used to be, but I'm not anymore because I've fallen away. The third answer to that question, do you have assurance in your heart that you are a child of God, could be this one. I don't know. I don't know if I'm a child of God. And you can identify with the verse in 1 John where it says fear has torment because you don't know for sure. I want you to know for sure, brothers and sisters. I want you to know. So let's look at those three answers one at a time. Number one, the man who says, the woman who says yes, the young person who says yes, I'm a child of God. Yes, I've given my heart to him. Yes, I'm following him. Yes, I want to do what's right. He has joy in his heart. He has a smile on his face. He's confident in his relationship with God. He has a testimony for the Lord. Maybe not a long one, but he has a testimony. He encourages his brother. He says, keep on, brother, keep on, keep on. See, he has peace in his heart, and peace follows surrender. He has peace in his heart. Now, things don't always go smoothly for that man either. Yes, his heart is right with God. Yes, he has peace with God. But you know what? Once in a while, his cows still get out. Weeds still grow in his garden. That doesn't mean everything is just smooth sailing, but he can still have peace. His car still breaks down. And once in a while, he gets so busy with work and church life and family life and whatever it all is, he doesn't know where to turn next. But he can still have peace in his heart because he knows where he stands before God. Is that where you are tonight? He maintains his relationship with the Lord. He clings to the vine. I am the vine, Brother Richard. He clings to the vine. And when he fails, he comes to the advocate and he says, God, I'm sorry. I have sinned. Forgive me. He claims the promise that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's man number one. And he has peace in his heart. You know what else? When he speaks sharply to little Johnny, he says, Johnny, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Number two, the second answer. No, I am not a child of God. Do you have assurance in your heart that you are a son of God? That you have salvation? Second answer might be no, I am not a child of God and I know it. Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord. And he's knocking. And you know he's knocking. And he wants to be the Lord of your life and you're holding him off. And you say, no, I am not quite ready for that yet. You know that you should. You sense the Holy Spirit talking. You sense the Holy Spirit calling you and you're miserable because of it. You know you're not right with God. You know you don't have salvation. You do not have assurance of salvation. Or maybe you've gone back to the mud hole of sin. You were delivered and you followed God, but now there's something in your heart and you know there's something there that shouldn't be. And you're serving that thing, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, or the pride of life. And you know that it's there and you know that it's separated you from God. I want to tell you what to do tonight. Repent. You can't have assurance of salvation with sin in your heart. Can you imagine cleaning up an old sow, get her nice and clean, and send her out to a muddy pen on a hot day? She's going to go right back to the mud hole. If that's where you find yourself tonight, brothers and sisters, you're not ready to meet God. You do not have assurance of salvation. You know you don't have peace. You know your heart isn't right. You know there's something there that shouldn't be. And your heart is heavy with guilt. Let me tell you what to do tonight. Turn around and go back to your father. Go back to your father. I love the parable of the prodigal son. You know, that young man made some bad decisions. He wasted his substance with riotous living. But one day he came to himself and he said, I don't want to go this way anymore. I don't have a relationship with my father anymore. There's nothing out here. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll turn around and go. I'll go back home and I'll say, Father, I've sinned. And while he was on his way home, can't you just see his father looking down the road and watching for him and watching for him? And one day he saw him coming and he ran to meet him. And that boy said, Father, I've sinned. He didn't even get to say everything he wanted to say. And his father hugged him, fell on his neck and kissed him. If you have sin in your heart tonight, brothers and sisters, you do not have peace with God. You do not have assurance of salvation. Go back to the Father. You need to go back to the Father. You can be forgiven. Remember our promise in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us. Isaiah 55 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That promise is for you. That promise is for you if there's something in your heart that shouldn't be there. If you've never given your heart to the Lord and you hear him knocking, that promise is for you. Number three, the third category, in answer to that question, do you have assurance in your heart that you are a child of God? The third answer might be, I don't know. I don't know where I stand with God. I'd like to know. I'd like to have confidence, but I don't know. I want to do what's right. I think I'm doing what's right. I try to do what's right. I think I stay current with God, but I don't know for sure. Sometimes I do things I shouldn't do. Wouldn't a Christian live above sin always? Sometimes it's hard for me to read my Bible. Would that be a problem if I were a real Christian? If I were saved, wouldn't I be more excited about God's word? I'm just not sure. Just not sure if I'm saved. Can God really forgive me? How about that one? I've done some pretty bad things. Can God really forgive me? I didn't understand what I was doing when I gave my heart to the Lord. I'm not sure if I said the right things. I'm not sure if I didn't, you know, I just don't know. I'm scared. I'm afraid that if Jesus would return, I don't know where I'd go. I don't know where I'd end up because I don't know for sure where I stand before God. You're fearful. You say, what if? What if? What if? You say, I don't know, and you worry. Do you know what that feels like? You apologize for things just in case you need to. You're afraid you're going to say something wrong and then that'll terminate your relationship with God or something along those lines, and you live in fear. Fear has torment, doesn't it? You're afraid that if you speak up in a group, you might say something you shouldn't say, and then that starts that whole cycle going around and around again where you're not sure what to do or where you stand before God, things like that. You say, why can't I be like John? Why can't I be like Mary? They don't struggle this way. They know where they stand. Why can't I be like that? Fear has torment. I'm here to tell you tonight, brothers and sisters, you don't have to live that way. You don't have to live that way. I don't want you to live that way. You know what? God doesn't want you to live that way either. I don't believe he does. Some of those feelings I can identify very well with. And it's a terrible thing to feel. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. If you look back into chapter 3, I wonder if the Apostle John struggled with this very thing. Look at verse 20. Verse 19, chapter 3, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. But look at that verse 20. You ever feel that way? If our heart condemn us, For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. You know that feeling? That your heart's condemning you? Have you ever felt like your own conscience was turning against you? I know that feeling very well. And it's a very unpleasant feeling. Fear has torment. Now I want to tell you, we're talking about somebody that wants to do right. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Somebody who wants to do right. They're doing everything they know. And their heart is condemning them. If you're one of those people tonight, I want to tell you that God is greater than your heart, and he knows really what's in your heart. What is the conscience? What is the conscience? It's that little voice that says, what you did was wrong. You must make it right. God has put it there. It's the part of you that makes you feel terrible when you do something you know you shouldn't until you take care of it. That's your conscience. God designed it that way. And it's a blessing. And if you struggle with these kinds of things, you say, it's a blessing? My heart is condemning me day after day. I'm having doubts and worry and wonder and fear. Yeah, it's a blessing. It just, your conscience just needs to be tuned a little bit. I'm talking about people that want to do what's right. Brothers and sisters, the devil is out to get you. He is out to destroy you spiritually, every one of us. The devil is out to destroy us. He's out to destroy your peace and your relationship with God, however he can do it. And if he can do that by turning your own conscience on you, that's what he'll do. Now, I don't know if I should say he uses our conscience or if he uses a counterfeit of our conscience, but he sows doubt and he sows fear and he sows worry in our hearts if he can. Some of us are more of those kind of people. And he wants us to worry and worry and worry and fear and fear and fear. And your mind goes round and round and round, and that's all you can think about. He loves to see the child of God in a stew, worried and fretting. Yes, he does. He loves it. He wants to discourage you to the point that you just say, forget it. Forget it. It's not worth it. I'm just going to give up. Brothers and sisters tonight, don't give up. Don't give up. If you struggle with feelings like this, don't give up. God is greater than your heart, and he knows all things. I beg you not to give up. Your feelings aren't always dependable. Don't give up. I want to remind you of a few things that you know about God already. Here's a promise of God from Jeremiah. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That's the kind of a God. That is the God that we serve. God is love. God loves you. First Peter says he careth for you. He's going to be there for you. He's going to walk with you. He cares for you. John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you. Do you know what it's like to have peace? Do you know what it's like to have turmoil when your heart condemns you? Jesus says, I'll give you peace. Psalm 86 says, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. This is the God that we're serving, brothers and sisters. And probably my favorite is in Psalm 103, where it says, he knows your frame and he remembers that you're made out of dirt. He understands you. He understands those feelings that you have. He is not up there waiting for you to do something wrong or say something a little bit wrong, and then he'll say, wham, I got him. That's not the God that we serve. I'm talking about somebody that wants to do what's right. I'm talking about somebody who's seeking to follow after God. And sometimes we get that image in our heart, in our mind, that God just wants to get us. He's going to get us if I don't quite say it right, if I don't quite do it right. That's not the God that we serve. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows what you're made of. He knows your struggles, and he cares. Don't give up. Our deacon put it this way. Remember three things. Write this down. Fact, faith, and feeling. Three things. Fact, faith, and feeling. Number one, go with the facts. What are the facts? The facts are that 13 years ago, I knelt and I prayed the sinner's prayer, and I was sincere in my heart, and I asked God to come into my heart. I confessed my sin. He forgave me, and I was a child of his, and I've been a child of his. And every time since then, when I've done something I shouldn't, I take care of it. I am a child of God. Those are the facts. Remember the facts, and then have faith. What are the facts? The facts are you want to follow God. It's just that you don't, some of these things are hard, but you want to, and God knows it. Have faith. Have faith in him. Have faith that that decision you made back then and that relationship you've maintained is still good. and the feelings will follow. Fact first, faith, then feelings. And even if the feelings never follow, it doesn't change your relationship with God. Have faith. It takes faith. It takes faith to believe that I'm forgiven. It takes faith to know that God cares about me, loves me, sent his son to die for my sin. God has given us many promises. One of those promises is that he won't cast out anyone who comes to him. Embrace that promise. The God that we serve wants you to have peace. He wants you to know and be confident in your relationship with him. He gave his son to die for you. He loves you. He knows what you're made of. John the Baptist was sitting in prison. And he started thinking, you know, is this really the Christ? So he sent his disciples, he said, go talk to Jesus and say, are you the one that should come or is there somebody else? Even John the Baptist had doubts, had questions. The forerunner of Jesus Christ. He said, can you go ask him? Go ask Jesus, are you the one that's coming? There he sat in prison and he had doubts. The devil was so in doubt in his heart. And Jesus said, look what I've done, John. Look what I've done. Go tell John. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed. All those things. The poor have the gospel preached to them. There's the proof that I am he. What is the proof to you tonight? That Jesus is God's son? That you are not following a cunningly devised fable? What is the proof? Look at what Jesus has done for you. Look at what Jesus has done for your family, for your friends, for your church people. God is real. Titus 1:2, here's a promise for you, says that God cannot lie. Hebrews 6:18 says that it's impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 10 also says he is faithful that promised. Galatians says you are the child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Believe it. Don't go by the feelings. Go by the facts. Don't doubt God. When he says he loves you, believe him. When he says he'll forgive you, believe him. When he says he cares for you, believe him. Don't doubt God. Have faith that when you prayed the sinner's prayer, to the best of your ability, to the best of the knowledge that you had about Jesus Christ and how all that worked, have faith that that was enough. I understand it takes maintenance since then. Have faith. I want to tell you something else. You can't do enough good works to build a ladder to get to God. You can't say, I'm sorry, enough times. Salvation comes by faith, by grace, through faith, through Jesus Christ. And that's the only way. It does not come by anything that you can do. Think about that. Salvation comes by grace through faith. A few practical points. If you struggle with these kinds of thoughts, remember, he knows your frame. He remembers what you're made of. All right? He knows you better than you know yourself. Cry out to him. He's your father. Number two, salvation comes by grace through faith. I just said that. Don't doubt him. He'll keep his promises to you. I promise. God cannot lie. Number three, live in obedience. We have the Bible, we have the word. Live in obedience. If you don't live in obedience, then no, you shouldn't have assurance of salvation. So check it out. How am I doing? Is there something in my heart that shouldn't be there that's causing a lack of assurance of salvation? Number four, if you struggle with these kinds of things, I encourage you to find a mature brother or sister in the church or a parent It's even better. Find somebody who's mature spiritually that you can talk to and confess your struggles to them and say, will you pray for me? I'm struggling with these things. I need help. Young people, middle-aged people, old people, I don't want to see any of us struggle and wallow in that I don't know, that pit of I don't know where I stand before God. Find somebody to pray with you. Find somebody to be accountable to. Don't wallow in that I don't know pit. And if you are called upon by a person who struggles with assurance of salvation or matters of conscience, first thing you do is what it says in James 1:4. You ask for wisdom. You get on your knees and say, God, I need wisdom to know how to help this young person or this middle-aged person. I need wisdom to know how to help him. Number two, be patient. He's trying his best. He's giving it everything he has. He wants so badly to do what's right. He's just not sure how to get it there, how to get it all together and do it right. Be patient with him. Number three, listen. It's part of being patient. Listen. Just listen to him. Let him say what he has to say. Let her say what she has to say. Listen. Number four, encourage him. He needs it. And number five, give firm counsel. Now, you've been asking for wisdom all the way through this. This person, maybe it's a young person, maybe it isn't. This person needs firm counsel. Give firm counsel. Help them to learn how to overcome these feelings. Help them to learn how to deal with these feelings. Give firm counsel. We can have joy. Joy is available. We can have it in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I hope you have it tonight. I think one of the most, I don't know how to say this, maybe the key verse in 1 John, I'd take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him. I think this is the key. Abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And now, little children, abide in him. Abide, abide. That means you did it yesterday. That means you do it today. That means you do it tomorrow. It's not this up and down and up and down relationship with God. It's not living on the mountaintop and living in victory for a while and then going down into sin. And then back up, and then back down. It's abide every day. Abide in the vine. Abide in the vine. Every decision, everything you think about, everything you do, is governed by the will of God. Abide in the vine. And now, little children, abide in him. Are you attached to the vine tonight? Do you have assurance that you are saved? Are you in that second category where you know you're not right with God? You do not have assurance of salvation because you know there's sin there. Is that where you are tonight? I think I'm going to give an invitation tonight. We'll have our brother lead us in the verse of Just As I Am. And I want to invite you tonight. If you don't have assurance of salvation because you've never given your heart to the Lord and you know he wants you to, then this invitation is for you. Come forward. Somebody will pray with you and help you find peace. If you don't have assurance of salvation tonight because there's sin in your heart and you know it, and you've been fighting it, or maybe it's something that you just can't get past, come forward. Somebody will pray with you. If you don't have assurance of salvation tonight, or if you struggle with these kinds of things, come forward and somebody will pray with you. Brother, if we could sing one verse of Just As I Am. Do you have peace in your heart? Do you want somebody to pray with you? Come forward, invite you. Are you attached to the vine? I was talking to a brother at home within the last few weeks, and he came out of the world. And by what he said, I think he must be thinking, you know, is this the right way to go? Is this legitimate what I'm doing following God? And he looks at his life and he sees the fruits of the Spirit and he knows, yes, this is the real thing. God bless you all.